Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you tonight?
I am feeling artistic.
Well, that's good because as we stated at the end of last week's show, tonight we have you on location. We're going to talk about the Festival of the Arts, which is why you're there.
And I've been here for 3 days now. It is actually my eighth trip since the resorts opened post or mid-COVID, however you want to think about it. Those of you that have listened to the show, you know that I was here for the resort reopening, the parks reopening. We've got lots of different openings I've done. I did Food and Wine opening, Chef Mickey opening, all kinds of great things, and partly just missing the resorts and loving Disney. And it's amazing to see some of the changes, some of the growth, some of the feeling a little bit more back to normal. We're definitely seeing more people here than we saw originally, but we're seeing probably stricter adherence every time I come to mask wearing and social distancing and the signage and the approach to it. One of the new things I noticed in the park yesterday is when the cavalcade, those mini character parades came through, they now also have cast members walking with the cavalcades, reminding you that you have to leave your mask on. If you want to do a photo with the cavalcade as kind of a selfie, that's fine, but you must have your mask on and you must stay 6 feet back from the cavalcade. There is no guest congregation following it down the road. So they're doing a phenomenal job here. The magic is definitely alive and well. I will say there is a cold front here. Not much warmer here in Florida than when I fly back home to New Jersey, but any day in Disney is better than a day back home.
So I'm glad that you segued away to remind folks that you've been there several times during this whole thing. I think it's good for all those of us that haven't been there to hear, you know, straight from the horse's mouth from somebody that's been there, somebody that knows the experience in normal times, to state what you stated. So, you know, I touch base with you more than just on these shows, so it's easier for me to understand it, but I think it'll be helpful for the listener. Let's segue very abruptly to the purpose of today's show, which is the Festival of the Arts. It has begun there at Epcot, so talk to us about your experience as you began taking in the festival this year.
I'd love to. And this festival covers a lot of different things. Arts isn't one or two things like food and wine, flower and garden. Arts is really broad. It's all of those arts that when our kids are in high school and they're picking electives, things that fall in there. It's music from live piano players to singers to bands to photography to art in all kinds of medium, from painting to chalk art to sculpting. There's even, here's a little way back kind of trend for you, spin art, and the way that you get it to spin is by pedaling a bicycle.
I like that.
So lots of fun things to see. And of course, incredible things to purchase. Lots of artists here selling their art, Disney art, Star Wars art galore, and the opportunity to get original paintings signed by the artist, some inexpensive prints of the expensive original paintings signed by the artist. And of course, there is art in food. So it wouldn't be an Epcot festival without some amazing additional food opportunities.
Let me ask a question that's kind of an obvious one. We still use the word social distancing. You know, we're still spacing people out. So a festival doesn't necessarily jive with that language. So how are they handling that?
I have to say, they are incredible in how they've handled it. And I've taken a lot of pictures I've shared with my team, and I've shared with clients who have asked to show how things look different. And if you're not prepared for it, it can be overwhelming. You might think, you know what, Sandy talked about this stone garden in Japan, this edible stone garden, and I have to have that. and you walk over to Japan and you see this line that looks horrific. I'm going to be honest. It's huge. But if you stand there for just a minute and you actually count how many people are in line, this massive line that in a regular year, if the line was that long, would probably take about an hour to get through and literally have 100 people in line. When you look at it and you count the number of people now, it's going to be somewhere between 12 and 15 because they are 6 feet apart. I almost didn't get my brie cheese yesterday because the line looked horrible. But I did stand there and I was number 12. I placed my order, looked at my watch. Just a few minutes later, not nearly the length of time I would have expected based on how far out the line went. So that spacing accommodates for it. They've also gone to using different venues for things. So they're not using smaller venues where people have to sit right next to each other. They're using large venues like the American Garden Theater where they've got so much space and they can easily distance people. It definitely has a lot of the same elements. It has some modifications to some of them. And there is a thing or two that we're without.
Your word is perfect. They're modifying the way that they have to modify in the current situation without sacrificing some of the magic. So perfect. That's exactly what I was interested in. All right. So let's run down what are the things that we need to see, the things that we would want to see and need to see.
So much. And so again, they've modified it, but there's still so much to do that it's definitely going to take you more than a day to see it all. I love the chalk art that they have. So on the ground, large chalk pictures. They weren't all the same size. I would say some of them were 2 feet by 3 foot. The Beauty and the Beast one that I absolutely loved was probably 4 feet by 8 feet. These gorgeous things that are such a shame in some ways. The chalk art is a beautiful medium to work in. But I have to be honest, I just kept looking at it and going, please don't rain for a long time. You're going to ruin this gorgeous work. And some of the chalk art was Disney themed. And some of it was after famous paintings that we'd all recognize. But incredibly talented people working on those. And you'll see different ones throughout the festival because they won't last outside on a sidewalk for the 7 weeks of the festival.
So they're spaced out throughout World Showcase?
They mostly take up that bridge area. They call it a chalk walk. You'll see some extras elsewhere. But that bridge that connects Future World and World Showcase has the majority of the chalk walk.
Okay, cool. What else?
They have what they're calling artful photo ops. 8 wonderful opportunities to put yourself in the middle of the picture. So they have a framework of Mona Lisa, and you can go stand inside of it and have your face inside of a Frida Kahlo picture. But then they also have more Disney kind of themed art. You can go stand in Peter Pan and be part of that scene. So great pictures.
Keep going down the line for us.
This year, they've added what they call drawing on inspiration. So we all know that Epcot has a lot of great things coming. Downside to a lot of great things, we've got some construction walls up. And they really made incredible use of those walls, turning them into additional experiences. So they have this drawing on inspiration, which is 2 Disney animators, each giving their different view on a ride. So you'll see 2 unique perspectives on Figment, on Living Seas, all different Epcot attractions, even some classics that you might miss, like the Universe of Energy.
And these are drawn on walls where you would see, you know, certain like construction is happening, you know, the quotes from Walt Disney. Is that accurate?
That is true.
We talk about a lot of things that come out of the pandemic and stay. I guarantee you that's something that stays because it's much more interesting to look at, even though I love the quotes than the quotes.
The other thing that they did on these walls is they painted butterfly wings without the body. And so you go stand in where the body of the butterfly would be, and you gain these gorgeous wings. And there's probably about 10 different ones, and you can go get, you know, maybe you want green wings with yellow polka dots or purple wings with pink stripes. But again, they up their game because we're talking about you putting your body and having the wings fall in the right spot. Well, all the wings fell mostly in the same spot before, but at this festival, they decided we need more different heights for wings. So now there's smaller wings, substantially lower to the ground, that are great for your 3 to 8 year old to become the butterfly instead of having an adult or having mom or dad having to hold the kid in the right spot to hit the adult wings. So again, just another way to make walls interactive.
One of my favorite parts of Epcot, and it's probably because of the age that I am and the years that I've lived, is Figment. And so every year I hold my breath when they do announcements at Expo to say what to hear what the future of Figment is. Figment is always visually a very big part of this festival. You've got something on this list here that is screaming to me. Talk to me about the Figment scavenger hunt.
Just like they've done in Epcot many times, they do these hunts through the world showcase. They're great for adults who are looking for some additional way around and some prize, but they're great for kids to really have their eyes peeled, have a focus. It's a small additional fee. You can purchase the scavenger hunt in any gift shop, complete it, and then bring it back for a prize.
And is it interactive? Is it on paper? How does it work?
It's a paper scavenger hunt, and you're looking for following the clues to find Figment hidden in locations.
Sounds like something I would love to do. from one of my favorite drawings, we go over to the Animation Academy.
We're all familiar with the Animation Academy. Obviously, Disney's Hollywood Studios is where we first learned it many moons ago.
Yep.
We've seen it more recently in Conservation Station in Animal Kingdom. We've got a great YouTube video on it if you've never had the opportunity to go to Animation Academy. I'm going to jump to a resort for a minute because I love the Art of Animation by its name, actually holds their own Animation Academy. But now they've added it as an element to the festival. And this is one of those things, if you've done the Animation Academy before, no reason for this to have been problematic in the past. They've got rows of chairs and you kind of have a little sketchboard on your lap and you do your drawing and you're sitting right next to people. Never a big thing. Now, they've used the American Gardens Theater. So the animator is up on stage. They've got a big center screen and two side screens projecting to his drawing table. You get a clipboard and the specially marked animation paper to do your drawing. And if you've been to Epcot before, you know how large that American Gardens Theater is. And again, every other row is marked off with a rope so you can't even enter it. And then within the open rows, there's a section of seating. And then there's a 6-foot sticker that tells you that you can't sit there. And then there's another section of seating. So you're outdoors, first of all, and you're well divided from other guests.
Good. Solid information. Okay, so we're going to segue away from animation, drawing, those types of things, artwork, visual artwork, I think, to something else. So what else do you have for us?
We're going to segue away from them, but we're actually going to stay in the American Gardens Theater. The Voices of Liberty and the Mariachi Cobre perform there in the afternoon. So to back up a second, the Animation Academy only happens twice a day, just after lunchtime. And then in the afternoon, Voices of Liberty, that are normally performing in the Rotunda in the American Pavilion, again, a smaller indoor space, are now in this larger outdoor space. So the opportunity to take in that art. Live entertainment and those unique experiences are such a huge part of what Disney is known for, of where people who dream of performing and being on stage dream of doing it with Disney. And we're starting to see those performers come back. Because of timing of different parks and things, I was able to make my way over to Disney Springs last night. And I was thrilled to see that three different stages had live cast performing. And so to see that music carrying over down there, again, talking about where are we in reopening and bringing back all of those things. Disney's an entertainment company, and it's not all about riding an attraction. It is about experiencing these mini shows.
Okay, so you got a couple more here before we enter into our favorite topic, which is food. So rattle them off for us. What else do we have to look forward to?
In the UK Guidon, they've got characters off the page, some really adorable oversized artwork out in the gardens on little stands. You can get some great pictures, check that you find them all, have a little bit of a hunt. The World Showplace, again, if you're an old timer like me, you'll still call it Millennium Village. They've got an incredible pianist playing Disney songs. They've got Defying Gravity, an acrobatic group that is performing. Lots of great things to see. And a nice break. For me, it was a little cold, so hopping into World Showplace was roasty toasty and a good break from the outdoors.
You'll take that. Okay, roasty and toasty. Are you prepared to move on to food?
It wouldn't be our show if we didn't talk about food, would it, Jeff?
Well, the culinary arts are an art, right? So clearly it holds a presence at this particular festival. So tell us what we can see there that maybe we wouldn't see at any other time of year when we visit.
19 unique food stands, and Jeffrey's Coffee's got in on it. They've got 4 different locations in Epcot, and they created these candy experiences. Specialty hot or iced coffee with a candy treat on top. There's an M&M's, a Snickers, 4 different versions with a matching donut. They also, as always, have really outdone themselves this year with creating culinary options that meet food allergies, gluten-free allergies, and the like. And because this food is for Festival of the Arts, they really have gone extremely out of their way on presentation. And I would say that while it isn't my first choice of go-to foods, my number one presentation award goes to the Japan kiosk for their stone garden. It's like a mini Zen garden made out of red bean mousse with chocolate rocks and rice cake pebbles. It truly is an edible work of art. I also, in Morocco, I had the mousscacho, which was an orange cake with a chocolate mousse filling on a chocolate tile. And if you head over to our Facebook page, you can check out a picture. Again, it's Disney, so it's not a white chocolate tile. It is a white chocolate tile, but laid onto it is this blue and yellow, unique, intricate design that kind of matches the Fountain of Morocco. It, again, is a work of art, almost too pretty to eat.
I love how you did catch yourself. I've been following the pictures that you've been putting up on, you know, the Instant Impressions social media, and my mouth has been watering this entire time. So I know you got a couple more that you wanted to mention as far as the things that you really thought were extravagant before we try to wrap up the show. So give us a couple more that really struck you as far as presentation or just flat out deliciousness.
They had in the Pop Eats kiosk a tomato soup with grilled cheese. And again, adorable presentation. The tomato soup came in this decorative little mini can. So you could take home your metal can as your souvenir of the festival. And also they made a sushi donut. And it was 4 different kinds of sushi blended into a round donut with a hole. So cut your donuts in quarters and have your favorite. Again, tasty stuff, but just incredible detail in the preparation. I will note that when Epcot opens, which tends to be 11 o'clock right now, the lines are super short at the kiosks, and I was super excited, but they're not quite ready to serve all of the offerings the minute they open. Lots of the drinks are available, but some of the food takes them 15 or 20 minutes till it's all ready to prepare. That melted brie that I love over in France, it's got to heat up and melt. The sushi donuts, I got to watch them put them together. And take a peek if you're a culinary person, not just from the eating aspect, but from the design aspect, you can see right into these incredibly mini kitchens that they're doing this awesome work into. So take a peek and appreciate the artistry of the food, not just the art.
Obviously, we had mentioned it in the beginning that things are being modified, right? The world that we're in right now calls for that. So the elephant in the room, the big question is, what is missing? from this festival this year that has been there in years past?
So Disney's pretty transparent. If you're a Disney-phile, somebody that loves all things Disney, this festival is in its fifth year, and years 1 through 4, it was called Festival of the Arts. This year, it's called Taste of Festival in the Arts. Taste of being their true nod that it's not all there. And the two things that were missing was typically on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night in that American Gardens Theater that we talked about earlier, they do incredible live concerts with Broadway stars, 3 times a night concert performances, 3 days in a row every weekend. And that music element was missing. The other thing that was missing was the seminars. And I've always taken a couple of the seminars, and the seminars, just like the art itself, really varied. Last year, I learned how to make a bento box. I also did a flower arranging class with the Disney Floral Department that was held in Epcot. I have a Nemo floral display that I've been able to refresh but keep the elements in it. The year before, I did a paper flower making class, how to upcycle your old park maps and turn them into beautiful flowers. And one that I will forever hold dear to me, I did a workshop there with Marty Sklar, one of the famous Imagineers who unfortunately passed away shortly after he did that workshop. So he talked to us all about the art of creating Disney. So many unique seminars that are normally a small additional charge or reservation required are missing this year. While they're missing, I think it has that other upside that I've talked to. I had no real plans. I had nowhere that I had to be at a specific time, which allowed me to really leisurely stroll the festival. And I'll be honest, like the chalk art, I thought would be a 5-minute thing for me, but I was really enamored with it. And I could take my time because I wasn't on this strict schedule. So I think, like everything, there's always that upside and that, oh, I wish. But again, the great thing about Disney, it'll be back next year. I'm sure we'll see the seminars again, and the opportunities will be there for me again.
So one last planning question I do want to throw at you, because obviously things are different. You have to have a park reservation to enter Epcot. How have you noticed the reservation system? Is it very full? Is it difficult to get the reservation at Epcot for somebody that's maybe planning a last minute trip? Is this something that you think is still something that they can gain access to?
You bet. And again, it's one of the bright sides to COVID to me. Those of you who are flying distance away, flights are the cheapest that we have seen in a long time. I'm able to come from New Jersey now for under $100 round trip. If I'm willing not to pick my seat in advance, I can come for under $50 a person round trip. And the great thing when you're looking at something like the festival, Epcot space-wise is nice and large, so it's got a bigger capacity. It is extremely rare not to be able to get a reservation in Epcot. Epcot is typically the last park that we see sell out. And I've looked ahead at the calendar all the way through February 22nd, the last day of the festival. It is available every day from now until then. Also, park hopping is back. And I have been checking with the park hopping availability to see which parks are open every day. It has still had space every afternoon to hop over there. So definitely plenty of time to still make a reservation to go. It is also unique, out of all of Epcot's festivals, this is the shortest. So you really have to get it in quick. It's only 7 weeks. Not a lot of time to see it all, but a great time to get away wherever you are, especially those of you in a cold weather climate. Now that I'm here and I've hit the cold snap for this year, it's probably done. The rest of you will all have much warmer weather than I've had.
Well, I do appreciate you taking the time. Like we said, you are on location. You are on property. It's a break from our normal recording routine. I know that's difficult. So thanks for taking the time to explain to everybody just what they can expect this year with a taste of the Festival of the Arts.
My pleasure, Jeff, and we'll get you down here soon.
I hope so. That's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. And if anyone you know could benefit from this show or any of our shows, please share, have them like, and subscribe. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz, my Instant Impressions travel services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.